the Holy Ghost allowing us to preach. And I appreciate y'all's responses. That worth a whole lot. If y'all didn't get help, then ain't no point in me be here. But Brother Scott already said, you know, you're not going to hurt my feelings to come to the altar. Matter of fact, by the end of the night, I hope there's a lot of us in the altar, including myself. Just a great burden for tonight. And we're in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, if you're not already there. This week's subject has been, for my part, restoring, refreshing, and reviving our first love to Christ. Brother Scott made a terrific statement. I believe it was last night. He said this to me, personally, if I can quote it exactly how he said it. But we were just talking about this Song of Solomon and the application that's there. And Brother Scott said the relationship in our marriages will only be as strong as our relationship to Christ. That is so true. We're the bride of Christ. And if our marital relationship to Him is right, I believe it'll be right in our homes and with our spouses. And I found that to be true in the time that I've been married. And our main desire this week, it's for God to revive our love to Him. That's what I came with on my heart. But it seems as if the Lord has also give us a little bit of another direction as well to refresh our marital relationships. And I know I'm young. I know that there's a lot. I was telling Jesse a little bit about the message tonight. There's a lot of men further than me, a lot more qualified to preach on the subjects of marriage. But I am married, praise the Lord. I do have a wife, two children. I know a little bit, not a whole lot. But I got a long way to go. I'm finding that out. I don't know as much as I thought I did. But, you know, if we preach the Bible as it is, then it doesn't really matter. But I found this, that in my own personal walk with God and in my own personal marriage, that if I want the love to be like it should be, I found this out. There's three things, simple things, that must take place. And it must take place in this order. If you take notes, I pray that you would write this down. Three simple things that must take place and take place in this order. This is just what I've found out. Number one, if we want our love to be right in our walk with God and in our marriages, there must be a recognition of the love problem, if there is a problem. If there is, now some of us don't have love problems, or maybe some of you don't have love problems in your marriage or in your walk with God. And that would be a great place to be. But there's others of us that live life and we do have problems. I guarantee you we all will. There must be a recognition of it. If we're ever going to get that love that we once had, whether it be for God or for our spouse, if we're ever going to have that first love back, we have to be honest and recognize that the first love isn't there. Number two, once we've recognized and admitted that it isn't there, we need to remember where it was lost. Remember where it was lost. Recognize it was there, then remember where it was lost. For me, my first love that first love that I saw slipping on God, a while back, I felt it slipping. And I recognized it, and then I began to remember back, and it dawned on me that I had started to become unthankful. And the Lord allowed me to pinpoint where I lost that first love that I had when I was saved. And after I realized the problem, I said this in my heart, God, if You will forgive me, and He will, I said, I want that first love restored. I want it restored. You know what happened? I started thanking God for just about everything. And I do carpentry work. If you walk into my house, you're going to see walls that it's been unfinished for about a year. And I'm glad that I have a wife that doesn't say anything to me about that. But I've been complaining about those walls. I've been dreading having to finish them because I go to work 8 hours a day, come home. I don't want to do carpentry work. And I looked in, but then I got, after the Lord revealed this to me, I started thinking that them four walls was there, that we had a place to live. Little things like this. I was out in the yard the other day, and I've been complaining about grass coming up in my freshly spread mulch. I rounded it up and I sprayed it down, and here comes the grass. And I was complaining. I thought, all right, Lord, how am I going to thank you for this one? From the grass in my mulch. It didn't take me long, and I thought, well, if the grass wasn't there, there wouldn't be no rain. We'd be in a drought, wouldn't have no food. It don't take long, and you start thanking him. You start that first love. Maybe it's different for you, but that first love starts getting restored. So I recognized it. I remembered back to where I lost it, and then I repented. I repented. And today I know that God is doing a work in my own life to restore my first love to Him. I believe the Song of Solomon has helped me in this time. And I pray that you never lose that first love. That zeal is what I'm talking about. That zeal to serve Him. Not that you're out in the depths of sin, but it is a sin to lose the first love. That honeymoon that you had. And so tonight we have a special burden. I'm really just going to try to follow the Spirit of God, and we'll give you the thought. Stand with us if you would. Stand with us. You pray for me tonight. I just want to be right. Tonight we're going to look at verse 10. There's so much. I know we just have tonight and tomorrow night, and I really wanted to look at these other verses, but the Lord has appointed verse 10 for tonight. Look at what the bridegroom continues to say. Last night he said, I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots. Look at what he says tonight. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Let's read it again. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. Christ is continuing to speak of His admiration for His bride. What amazes me is that Christ would even admire somebody like me. It amazes me that Christ would have an admiration for us sinners. But I'm glad that He admires His bride. He loves His bride. He gave her that title in verse 9 that we looked at, calling her My Love. That is who she is. That is who we are, the church to Him. We are His love. He says, My love. And we saw also in verse 9 how she appealed to Him. We looked at that comparison that He made to those magnificent horses that Pharaoh had. That's how she appealed to Him, as those horses. But now, tonight in verse 10, we find this. I believe it'll be evident to you. But we find His attraction to her. Verse 9, how she appealed to Him was as those horses. But tonight we see the attraction that He has to her. That is amazing, isn't it? That Christ is attracted to His bride, but it's only right that He should be. But He has an attraction to her, and I mean this in a spiritual sense. But He takes us in verse 10 into the most affectionate, best I can tell, verse 10 and 11. He takes us into the most affectionate thoughts that He has for her. He takes us into the depths of how He looks upon her beauty. And He takes us into the flood of overwhelming emotion that He feels when He looks upon her. He says, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. He's looking upon her and He's describing His most affectionate thoughts. Now, there's something that's obvious in this verse. He is looking upon her with attraction to her in a pure marital sense. I can look out over the crowd tonight and I know who I'm preaching to. the majority of the crowd. I understand there's some of us that are not, and there's nothing wrong with that. I can take you to Corinthians and show you. There is nothing wrong if you choose to stay married and pure all the days of your life and serve and to be devoted to God. There is nothing wrong with that. But looking over the crowd tonight, I understand we have a lot of us that are married, that have a spouse. And we find some wonderful, I mean, I don't know of another book that you can get help for your marriage than the Song of Solomon. And he's looking upon her, and in a pure marital sense, in a pure, nothing perverse, nothing provocative, nothing in that manner, because marriage is right, it's honorable. And he's looking upon her with attraction in a pure marital sense, and he says this, "Thy cheeks are comely." Thy cheeks are comely. He's looking upon her, and this is how he sees her to be. He takes notice of her attire, what she is wearing and what she is adorned in. And what she is wearing and what she is adorned in is a testimony that she belongs to him. And I'll explain more about this. He's looking upon her attire, what she's wearing, what she's adorned in. And we saw, he said, "Thy cheeks are comely." We saw that that word comely, it's used here again. He used it back, or she used it in verse 5. But when she used it, she said she was comely after she referred to herself as black. We said that that word comely, it means beautiful. And here he says, He uses the word comely, and he says, "Thy cheeks are comely." She knew that in verse 5, she knew that Christ's righteousness had made her beautiful, but she also couldn't forget what she was in the flesh, being black. But what blesses me tonight is this, that Christ said nothing about her blackness. Christ said nothing about her sins. He said nothing about her past, and perhaps it is because when he looks upon her, all he sees is her beauty. What this testifies to, and the reason that he only sees her beauty, is because he doesn't or he chose not to remember her blackness. Though she cannot forget it, he does not see any blackness in her. Even though she still recognizes it, even though she's still in the flesh, we're still here in the flesh. The church age is still going on. We're still in the grace dispensation. Though she still sees that blackness, all he sees is her beauty. Now, why I was so burdened tonight is because I believe the Lord, Brother Scott's going to give me a little bit of liberty tonight. And I don't want to say anything that Brother, the pastor, would have to clean up or anything. I worry myself to death because I want to help. I don't want to hurt anybody. But I believe the Lord might give us a little bit of liberty to try to preach a little more to our homes tonight. As Brother Pastor Scott said, our marital relationship to our spouse will only be as strong as our marital relationship to Christ. If we'll love Him, we'll love each other, we'll be devoted to each other. And all He sees is her beauty. All He sees, husbands tonight, I believe it would help us if we would stop picking out and looking upon our spouse's faults and failures. Wives, I believe it would help us tonight if we would stop looking upon the faults and failures, and if we would work together to try to overcome those things that maybe hinder us, those differences that we might have, and try to work to be more in unison together, not poke and prod. Oh, we know where to go. We know what to poke at. We know what's going to get each other riled up and stirred up and mad and hateful. We know. We know where to poke. But I believe tonight it would help us to bite our lip and bite our tongue and look at those good things about each other. Look at those right, those things that we're doing right, for goodness sakes. All Christ sees when he looks at her is her beauty. And Christ said, husbands, or the Bible said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I say, praise God that he doesn't remember what I used to be, though I myself can't forget my past black sins. All he sees is the beauty of righteousness that he has imputed to me. Number one, in this attraction that is described here, by Christ describing his attraction to her beauty, the first thing we see is his attraction to her hidden beauty. He has an attraction to her hidden beauty. Now you say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, I had to do some research on history to really bring this out. I wanted to know what it meant when he said, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. I really couldn't find, there was one old writer that helped me out with this one. And I didn't know what it meant, so I had to look back to some old scholars. And we see that he has, by that statement, he has an attraction to her hidden beauty. Now let's look at it. You say, wait, preacher, hang on a second. He's describing her cheeks. How is that her hidden beauty? Her cheeks aren't hidden. Thy cheeks are comely with rose or jewel. Where's the hidden beauty in that? Well, her hidden beauty isn't found in her cheeks alone. But her hidden beauty is found in the rows of jewels that are upon her cheeks. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. That's where the hidden beauty is found. I'll explain. That word rose has an interesting translation in the Strong's Concordance. It's translated from the Hebrew word tor, T-O-R-E, which actually means a circlet or a plate, plait. You know, these ladies... Well, I don't guess they do much now. They wore those things in their hair years ago. The old timers, you know, back, you see them old fashioned ladies with the plaits and all that, the circlet, whatever you call those things. I'm not sure. I know what it means. But it was a decorative ornament, I found this out, of precious jewelry that the women would wear, these rows of jewels. The women would wear them in their hair. And I found out that they were given to them by the one they were espoused to. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And here's the hidden beauty. The women in these days, especially in public, would cover their heads. They would cover their heads because it was a shame to them. New Testament talks about it too. But it was a shame to them to have their heads uncovered. But she could uncover when she was with her husband because the twain had become one. It was her husband alone. Her husband alone that knew every aspect about her. But these jewels were a private ornament. Nowadays, we want to flash them. We want to show them. And I'm not going to get into jewelry. But what we're looking at is this was a hidden ornament given to her by her spouse, and her husband alone was the only one that saw it. So this is what we find. When she uncovered her head in the presence of her husband, that ornament of jewels that was in her hair, it would fall down upon her cheeks with the locks of hair. Only the husband could know this about her because he's the only one that had the capability to see her like this. And that's how it better be. The husband is the only one that should be allowed to have that private relationship with his spouse. And the wife should be the only one that is allowed to have that private relationship. Matter of fact, it shouldn't, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's between the husband and the wife. This, what Christ is describing by these jewels that fell down upon her cheeks is the hidden beauty that only He has access to, that only He can see. It is a beauty about her that only He can see in her. So let's look at it in the spiritual sense now. Christ is saying to the church here, I know the beauty of my bride that others do not know because I'm the only one that has access to her and to her beauty. It's talking about the righteousness and the grace that's in her. Number two, we find His attraction to her innocence and to her purity. He's attracted to her, not only to that hidden beauty, but to her innocence and to her purity. I found this out in the time that I've been married. The one thing that my wife desires to know is that I'm still attracted to her. They have kids. They raise our kids, our children. We come out of those honeymoon days, fellas. I've not got there yet. Thank the Lord. I can eat and eat and eat and it does not bother me. And I am so happy that I can do that. I am so happy. But there is coming a day, they tell me, that it's going to take a toll. And I'm going to get the pooch gut. And it's going to stick out. But what us fellas want to know too, or should, is that she is still attracted to us. You know, as we start, Jesse, it's been bothering me pretty bad. She's found about solid white hairs in me. And I just turned 30 this year, and it's bothering me. And, you know, as we get older, the skin will start to sag a little bit and start to hang. You know, we start to get those ripples like the ocean in our face and all those things that we all dread, I guess. But the thing about it is no matter how long we go, I found this out in just the short time I've been married, that she still wants to know that I'm attracted to her. But Brother Scott, I want to say this by way of passing. We better not allow ourselves to get attracted to anybody else. We better stay away from the internet. We better stay away from the magazines, from the pornography. Is still a wicked sin. And I ain't talking about fully undressed. I'm talking about half clothed. It's still just as bad. It'll cause you to lust. And I understand the day we live. I understand you can't hardly walk in the grocery store and you get in the aisle and they just throw it out everywhere. But fellas, I'm saying, and ladies as well, but fellas, I'm saying you better not go out into the depths of that mess. It'll ruin a marriage. It'll tear apart. And I think about the children that's involved. He's attracted to her innocence and to her purity. Those jewels upon her cheek express her innocence and her purity because only He has the access to see it. Because only her husband could see her with her hair down. Now, I want to say this before I go to my next point, because this is going to lead to the next point. And I'm going to turn, hold your place here. I want to read it to you. I'm sure Brother Scott's already covered this, but as a reminder, and I'm saying this carefully, but we've already seen it. I mean, it's in the verse right here. It is right for a husband and wife to be physically and intimately in contact. She said, kiss me. Husband and wife, I said. Husband and wife. If it's outside of that, it's called fornication or adultery. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 7 and I'll show you. Hold your place right here. This whole chapter deals with marriage and the virgin. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 7, hold your place. I don't want to lose you here, but we're dealing with this marital relationship to Christ and to our spouses. Verse 5, Paul said to the church of Corinth, defraud, that word means rob or to steal, to cheat. Now he's talking to the husband and the wife here. Verse 5 of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Defraud ye not one the other. Rob not each other. Rob ye not one another. Except it be, defraud ye not, except it be with consent, with agreement for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And look at this, come together again. That means affectionately and intimately and romantically. Come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your restraint. It is right for a husband and for a wife to have that intimacy, that affection, physically and intimately with one another. Don't rob each other of that. Don't hold back from that. Stay close. Stay in love. Stay fresh. And that's the same way with Christ. Don't rob Him of His intimacy that He deserves, spiritual speaking, from His church. Don't rob Him of that. He deserves for us to be in love with Him, to be intimate with Him. It's biblical, back in Song of Solomon. It leads to my next point. Those jewels upon her cheeks, it expresses His attraction to her hidden beauty. It expresses his attraction to that private, or to her innocence and her purity. But number three, those jewels upon her cheeks expresses His attraction to her faithfulness to Him. He's attracted to her faithfulness to Him. Now I think my wife, I told you, and I didn't tell the whole story on that. She got on me though about her saying she was a donkey. I told her she was my stallion or something like that. I can't remember. I was just trying to be all romantic. I'm horrible at it, but I try anyway. Give me some credit for trying, somebody, please. And she said, I'm just an old donkey. Well, she's not. You know what attracts me the most to my wife? Her looks is a benefit to me. I think she's beautiful. But what attracts me most about her, when I pillowed my head last night, Brother Scott, as I was laying down, I said, Lord, thank you. I did. I said, thank you for my good wife. I mean, it takes a good wife to be a pastor's wife or a preacher's wife. Each one of us, it don't matter who. I mean, it takes a good wife. If you want a good man, you'll see a good wife. But listen, what attracts me most about her is her faithfulness to me and to my children. Christ is attracted to our faithfulness to Him. He loves to see us faithful to Him. He loves to see us serving Him. And for her to see, for Him to see her in this manner, with those rows of jewels upon her cheeks, for Him to see her like this, it lets Him know that He has her heart, that she's faithful to Him. It lets Him know that she's faithful to Him privately and publicly, that she doesn't have to shout it to the rooftop for all to take notice, that she doesn't have to make a name for herself or to exalt herself, but she just wants to please Him privately. I worry about those that's always wanting to please themselves or make a name or fame or look good for others. They ain't faithful to Him. Anybody that's faithful to Him wants to please Him. Lastly, with those rows of jewels upon her cheeks, it expresses His attraction to her appreciation. She's thankful. She's thankful. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, it let Him know that all her love was for Him only. They fell upon her cheeks. He looked upon it. And it showed Him that all her, because she was waiting She was reserving. She was holding it back for him to see, if that makes any sense. He's attracted to her appreciation. She's thankful. And we've already said it. She's wearing the jewels that he gave her. He gave her these jewels. They were the best of jewels given to her by him. They represent his glory and his grace, which he gave her, which she would wear as an ornament to show her appreciation that he died for her, that he gave his blood for her, his life for her. He gave her these jewels, and she's thankful. She's beautiful to him. He's attracted to her. But then at the latter of the verse, we find he's not only attracted to her hidden beauty, but he's attracted to her outward beauty as well. Now, I'm not talking about an attraction in a fleshly sense, but his attraction to her righteousness, which flows from the inside out. Now, it's expressed in what he says next. He said, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. Look, thy neck with chains of gold. Or it is to say, thy neck is comely with chains of gold. What I see in this ornament is it's worn out of reverence to him. It's around her neck. It's worn out of reverence to him. She wears it to reverence him. In case we haven't grasped a hold of it, he loves everything about her. Everything about her. Spouses tonight, do you love everything about them? Do you even love when they... Well, I better not say that. Do you love everything about them? I mean, we should. Everything about him. He loves everything about her. From what's on her head to what's on her neck. Everything. This attraction he has for her, it's still describing the beauty of her respect for him. The Bible tells us, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Submit. Give yourselves over to them. They are the head of the home. We know that. We know that the fellas, they ain't our slaves. We understand that. It takes a pretty low man to hit on a wife. It does. I believe that. I was raised and taught that. My mother taught me that. It takes a pretty sorry man to hit a woman. You can't get angry enough to hit a woman. I don't want no excuse. She wears this chain of gold out of respect for him. We could say that this ornament upon her neck, it was also given to her by him. But the difference in this ornament from the jewels is all others could see it. See, only he saw the rows of jewels that fell down in her locks of hair. But all others could see this chain about her neck. Where this one differs is it was one she wore in public. Perhaps when others saw it, they not only thought of the beauty of the chain itself, but they knew by it who she belonged to. Who she belonged to, or who he belonged to. I don't take this off. I don't take it off at work. They tell me, they say, if you wear that in your trade of work, they say you could rip your finger off with that gold ring. But you know what? Everywhere I go, I wear that. Because that symbolizes that I'm hers. And she wears hers because it shows that she is mine. We belonged. Everybody that looked upon that chain of gold about her neck knew who she belonged to. She reverenced him, and it testified to his love for her, but also to her love for him, because she wore it in public. It also tells us she's not ashamed of him. She's not ashamed of him or it. What do you mean by that? She's not ashamed of who she's married to, and she's not ashamed of her marriage to him. She's not ashamed of it. He called this ornament about her neck chains of gold. It tells us that it was precious stones linked together. Chains linked together. Others might say this, can you believe he gave her that? Can you believe Christ would marry himself to a bunch of sinners like us? He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the good, but he died for the sinner. Can you believe Christ would marry her? Or they might say, what did she ever do to deserve his love? But he loves her. Regardless of what others say, she wears it for him because she's not ashamed of him. We shouldn't be ashamed of him. He's given us eternal life. He shed his precious blood. He's come and he's died. He's laid down his life. We shouldn't be ashamed of him. But there's another side to that. I mean, I know where Brother Scott stands, and I know where this church stands. It's obvious where you stand. But I'm just going to say this as a reminder. I don't think I'm saying this. I don't think I have to be nervous about saying this tonight. Women, she wears this for him because she's not ashamed of him. Women shouldn't dress like they're not married. Women shouldn't dress like they're not married to Christ or to their spouse. You say, oh, preacher, dress don't matter. Oh, really? Next time you're taken to Mission Hospital, I'm going to tell your doctor to dress up like a mechanic. Preacher, dress don't matter. Oh, is that right? I don't drink any alcohol because I'm saved. And the Bible says otherwise. But if I was to walk in the back door with a Budweiser shirt and I didn't drink alcohol, what are you going to think? You're going to think he drinks alcohol, even though I didn't. Regardless, when Jesus, I can prove it. When Jesus was on this world, he dressed like a modest male Jew. He dressed modestly and appropriately. We ought to dress and look modest like Christians. We ought to be set apart, and when we walk in, we ought to look like, act like, talk like a Christian. I don't know about you, but I don't want no mechanic working on my body. Now, I like a mechanic working on my truck now. I don't want to pull up to a mechanic and them have a carpentry belt on. You know what I'm saying? It matters how you dress because it labels you for who you are. And that's just it. Women shouldn't dress like they aren't married. Men, I mean, it's not just the ladies. We ought to dress like a man. Praise the Lord. We ought to dress like a man. She wears it because it draws his attention to her. His attention. Nobody else's now. Nobody else. It draws his attention to her. And she knows that he sees it as beautiful. I guarantee you that every husband in here wants his wife to dress like a wife. And every wife wants her husband to dress like a man. If we'll ever get to that place that all that matters is him, everything else will fall right in line. She wears it because she respects him. I'm almost done. She wears these chains of gold because it's her riches. Now, nothing, not to be flashy or nothing like that, but it's her riches. She wears it because it was a gift. She didn't work for it. She didn't pay for it. That's what it represents. He gave it to her because he is rich, spiritually speaking. He is rich,
Well, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's rich. And he wants to share the riches of his mercy and his grace with her. It's a testament to her salvation. It expresses her rich. She's rich, in case you hadn't thought. Now, I ain't got a whole lot in the bank. A lot of you probably laugh if you saw it. I'm not rich in that, but I am rich, buddy. I have got it all. The Lord's been good to me, a family and kids, and He blesses me. Sometimes I've wondered, Brother Scott, if we're going to be able to buy groceries. I have wondered that a time or two. But the Lord has always come through. I haven't been begging for bread yet. I don't have a closet full, but I've not begged for it yet. God will take care of us. But I'm rich beyond what the world could offer me. It describes how she's rich. He's made her rich. She wears it because it shows she's reserved for him. What I mean by that is they're inseparable. Just as the chain is linked together on the chain of gold, she is linked together to him. You know what I like? And I see all of y'all. I see y'all, you know, during the youth meeting and when we're here. But you know what I like about you tonight? Is I believe the majority, and I understand sometimes that they're not, you know, you can't sit with them or whatever. But what I like by what I see tonight is you're sitting with your spouses. And I know some of you spouses has went on, and my heart does go out to you. That's what I adore. One of the things I love about you, man of God, about you, pastor, is I always see him and his wife together. And it's a testament. It's a testimony through his family as well. They're linked together. When the world sees her, they see him. They see Christ. We're the salt of the world. We're the light of the world because they should see Christ. Lastly, and this is my favorite, she wears it because it reminds her what he thinks of her. My wife, she doesn't wear a lot of jewelry at all. But I've given her a few necklaces and things. And there's one locket in particular that I had, that I'd ordered. And it had a picture, or it's got the engraving on it, of me and her and my children. And every time I see her ring or something that she wears that I've given to her, she wears it, and I know she does, because I know her heart. But when she wears those things that I've gave her, she doesn't wear much now, but when she does, it reminds her of me and of her children. She wears this because it reminds her of him and what he's done. To her, she's black, but to him, she's comely. The opinion of herself when she looks at it. The opinion of herself is outweighed by what he thinks of her. They make her feel special because he thinks she's special. They make her feel loved because they were given to her out of love. They make her feel comforted because she knows who she belongs to. Now, you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm going to be honest, Brother Scott. I'm preaching to myself. I am. If you have, there's an old lady one time, and I heard this story. I didn't get to grow up in this time, but I heard the story that there was an elderly lady. I shouldn't say old, elderly. I have to be careful. Elderly lady. That now old men don't care, but the ladies, you got to watch it. Elderly. There was an elderly lady that asked Mase Jackson one time, said, "Brother Mase," said, "you believe in flying saucers?" Brother Mase said, "I'm married, ain't I?" Amen. If you have a perfect marriage, I thank God for it. And there might be some that's never really had any trouble. You've never had flying saucers come your way.
or flying plates or flying glasses or flying shovels or flying anything. You may have never had that. And if you did, I hope that you ducked quick. But anybody that's been, I've only been married for, you know, how long has it been? No, I'm kidding. 4 years. I've been married 4 years. That ain't too long compared to some of you. And I thank God for that. Some of you stay faithful to marriage. And I understand some marriages be broken. I understand that God can forgive and that God can restore. I understand that as well. I'm not that narrow-minded. They make her feel special because he thinks she's special. They make her feel beautiful because he says she's beautiful. Spouses tonight, husbands, I wonder. I don't know. I hardly know. I know some of don't know all of you. But I wonder tonight, is there something between not only our relationship to him, that's been the theme of the week, but what about each other? What about each other? I'll be the first one on the altar tonight because I know where I'm at. And my wife deserves, she deserves to be treated like a God-fearing Christian man should treat her. She deserves to be loved to the fullest. She deserves to be appreciated. I should bring her. It wouldn't hurt me to bring her a bouquet of roses. Tomorrow's her birthday, by the way. Y'all tell her happy birthday. Tomorrow's her birthday. She deserves to be treated like royalty. That's the message tonight, but I wonder tonight what you need. Maybe it's something that's between you and the Lord, that love relationship. Maybe it's affecting our marriages. I believe if our marriages and if our homes are strong, I know that the church will be strong. Tonight I've been more burdened this week than I have been any night of the week. Hands down, I've been more nervous for tonight. Brother Scott, Pastor, you can come on. I wonder tonight, maybe you need to pray with your spouse. Maybe you need to pray for your spouse. Maybe you need to pray for your relationship with the Lord.